Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is a WEEI special broadcast. It's day two of the 18th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by the Arbella Insurance Foundation. Today on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier, all four Boston coaches, Teddy Bruschi.
Such inspirational stories about comebacks and coming back from cancer and regaining your life. It's what they're all about. They give people a lot of second chances in their lives, and I'm proud to help out today.
And Sox ace Chris Sale.
These kids are going through a lot, and I think we all know that, and any time that you can get them to step away from the pain or from the reality of something, it's important.
Now, live from Fenway Park, here's Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier.
We got some great stuff coming in our final hour between 5 and 6, and this thing obviously will continue on right through the ball game, right to midnight, maybe past midnight, because we need to get that total up right now. The Arbella Foundation tote board reads 2,464,998, but I'm telling you, I know there's more money in the other room. I've seen the checks with my own eyes. All right,
well,
I've done the investigative work.
I like those checks, but I want more. I want more to come in.
Absolutely.
I know just the guy to shame all our listeners into emptying out their pockets.
Who would that be?
I know just the guy.
Who would that break it down?
Yes, to break it down, our good friend, first appearance on the show for this year, Teddy Bruschi.
Oh, yeah.
Teddy B.
Shame him, Teddy. Go ahead.
Let's go.
How are you?
What's going on?
Did you run the Falmouth Road Race this weekend?
I did run the Falmouth Road Race this weekend. It's a great run out there in Falmouth. Good people down there.
You got to be kidding me. And you just went through another health scare a few weeks ago, and you're back in business again.
Boy. Yeah, another stroke. You can say it. Had another stroke.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you're unbelievable.
Teddy, I got to be honest, man. I heard that news, and it was just awful to hear, you know. And then people kept saying that, you know, well, he's fine, he's doing okay. And I'm like, okay, in relation to what? Like, what does that mean? Then obviously you talked about it recently, and it turns out you're great, which is great news.
Yeah, it's you know, I had my first stroke, and we came up with a good plan on what we thought was the right plan to go forward, and that was. You know, I had a hole in my heart, and we closed that hole, and going forward, you know, came back to play 4 years in the NFL, guys. And then I think, you know, it was 14 years later, you think you're out the woods and you think you're good, but, you know, adversity strikes again. And I had another stroke on July 4th was the date, and it wasn't as big as my first stroke, but still it was scary enough to where, I mean, Heidi and I knew what was happening. It was my first stroke was in the middle of the night, and you know, you think you can go back to sleep and everything's going to be okay. But when you're out on the football field and it's and you've got slurred speech and your face is drooping and you can't use your left arm, it's pretty scary. You know, it's and we know what was going on. We got to the hospital quickly. You know, I was lucky that my symptoms they cleared up. You know, before I even was in the hospital for about an hour. So everything worked out well. You know, that's why I preached those stroke warning signs, guys, to know what's happening, to have that knowledge. I didn't know what was happening the first time. I sure as heck didn't know what was happening the second time, and I just couldn't believe it. But, you know, we all end up getting to know each other. Know each other, I mean, yourselves, personally, you know, medically, for me, you know, physically, all of those things. And going forward, I think I have a good understanding of who I am and the plan going forward to give me the best chance to be healthy.
We're glad you're good.
You
know what we're doing here. Know exactly what the Jimmy Fund is all about, and there are a lot of people that are calling, that are contributing. We're hearing some unbelievable stories, some with miracle endings, some right now that are, you know, still subject to who knows what's going to happen, but it's incredible, the outpouring.
And you need, you know, you can talk about miracles and talk about the second chances in life, but you need a lot of help. You know, those sometimes those miracles don't happen on their own. You need help. You need the right treatment. You don't need the right people. You need the right assistance. You know, the Jimmy Fund, everything that they do, they provide that. it provide that second chance for people, that possible miracle. It wouldn't even have any chance if it weren't for the work that they're doing. And I'm so, you know, proud to help you guys out today and help to, you know, to let people know that this is special what you guys are doing. And I really admire you, WWEI, for the work that they do with this, and everybody that's calling in. It's just special what everyone's doing, and it's a good time for everyone to get together and do this.
All right, so let's talk Pats football, because it seems like a pretty, I would say, quiet offseason, other than, you know, Brady and his contract, which happened, you know, closer to toward the beginning of camp. And then all of a sudden, right, boom, you got Josh Gordon, gets reinstated. I was kind of surprised how quickly it happened. I guess the most important question is, do you think he can make it through the season?
Well, based on what has happened before, you've got to say no. And I wish him the best, and I want him to be successful and also be a major contributor like he was at times for the New England Patriots. But still, it's, you know, he himself has a lot of things going on in his life. And am I happy that he gets another chance? I'm absolutely ecstatic for Josh Gordon that he gets another chance to be there for a team an entire season, and hopefully he can enjoy it the entire 16 games and the playoffs, hopefully. But, you know, it's hard for him. It's hard for him. Does he have the physical talent? I believe he's 28 years old, I believe. I mean, it's not like he's on the other side of 30 or anything like that. I mean, this kid is still young. He still has talent. He can help if he's there, if he's available, if he's consistent. That's something that you hope that Josh can attain.
You know, Teddy, I know last year when they traded into New England, it was one of those, when it came to Josh Gordon, well, okay, this is it. This is his last chance. He's at New England. You know, if he can't make it there, no one else is going to take a chance on him. Well, it turns out New England took another chance on him. So a couple things stand out. Number one, he can still play football. He can help you win games. Number two, though, he must have had a good relationship, whether it was with Bill or the players, for them to even bring him back, given what had happened. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I know it's a good relationship with the players in there. They welcomed him when he came in. He made good friendships while he was there. They supported him 100%. So, I mean, that's another thing also you can add on top of that, that them welcoming him back and wanting to give him another chance is, I think they know that they need all hands on deck. I mean, I don't think they know who they're going to be. I mean, are we going to be able to win the line of scrimmage like we did last year and bludgeon someone with our running game when our big left tackle's not there anymore, our tight end that could do all the things and block is not there anymore? Can we do that? Well, if we can't, what are we going to have to do? Okay, is N'Keal Harry going to have to come up big for us? Maybe we're going to need and actually want to have Josh Gordon. So September, they got to figure things out and who they want to be, figure out who's going to be there in October and November. I mean, what kind of identity offensively they're going to have. Defensively, I love what I'm seeing on the defensive side of the ball. Those linebackers, top to bottom, maybe one of the best in the league. I mean, in terms of 1, 2, 3, 4 depth going five. I mean, that's a great group right there. But offensively, you can sort of tell by how they're calling plays, who they're signing, the formations they're using. They're still testing the waters also.
So let's look at the linebacker core, something near and dear to you. But you look at Bentley, who was a terrific player in preseason last year. Now you've got him healthy. The Winovich kid looks like he could be have an impact. Jamie Collins looks like, you know, he could be a huge. You're right. You look back 2 years ago, we're sitting there going, oh, my God, linebackers are not real deep. And yet right now I'm looking at the depth chart and I'm sitting here saying, does Landon Roberts even make the team? Are they going to have cuts here?
I mean, yeah, Jamie Collins. I mean, they ran him out of town the first time. I mean, yep. Now they welcome him back, and Jamie is loved by everyone the way he's been in there now from what I'm hearing. So I'm happy for Jamie that
he got his money in here. Got his money, yeah, Teddy. Well, that's what it was. Yeah.
You know, hey, everyone's formula is different, you know, to figuring things out. You know, everyone's formula is different. Some gotta learn by experience. You know, some just know where it's the best in what place. But for him to come back, I mean, he's happy here. You know, teammates have said he's been nothing but a good teammate, so that's a great thing. I love what I saw from Winovich the other night. I mean, just when I say instinctive on the edge, I mean, not he's not running upfield blindly and the worst position in football, which is Coach Belichick feels is behind the quarterback where you can't do anything. He's instinctively coming under blocks down the line. I mean, I was very encouraged for what I see. I mean, I'm taking it all with a grain of salt, fellas. These are preseason players. These are preseason calls. Not much scheme going on. So, but it's still good to see a young rookie like that perform on a stage where you're really supposed to right there because it's set up for your success. So he can provide some third down pass rushing, maybe some special teams play as he learns to be an every down linebacker and set the edge.
You know, speaking of linebackers, Teddy, you know, one guy, Gerard Mayo, we were talking about first year out, you know, being a coach in this league. It looks like he's calling some plays. We talk about, you know, what a, you know, first year. That seems like it's difficult to do. I know you do a little coaching down there at Fien. I know you're the guy down there calling in those plays. But, you know, year one in the NFL, can you even imagine that being – I think it'll be tough, wouldn't it?
So, about what I just talked about a young linebacker in Winovich, you know, preseason, what it's supposed to be and how almost scripted it is at times during practices and games. You know exactly what you're going to work on. Gerard can do all that. Gerard, I mean, great friend of mine, very intelligent. I always would talk to him and knew that, yep, this is coach-like speak that we're having here. So I was happy that when Bill gave him a chance to get in there, but as Gerard goes along in the regular season, he's going to learn too, because there are adjustments to be made from series to series. There are just new game plans to make from week to week. I'm excited for him because it's going to be difficult, but I know he's smart enough to handle all this stuff. You know, can he be the defensive coordinator for this team? Can he be on the fast track to be looked at in that light? I think so. I think that seeing the confidence Bill has in him to already be calling various defenses, Bill would only be doing that for one thing, for the plans that he has for him. So it's not going to be like, you know, let's have you do all this in the preseason. By the way, just break down film in the regular season. It's not going to happen like that. It's a progression, and Gerard's already on it.
So what do you think, and I feel like, you know, really every – you look at the defense side of the ball, almost every area of that team seems to be pretty strong with good depth. Offensive side of the football, offensive line could be one of the best in the NFL. Running backs are on point. Quarterback, obviously. Receivers, a good mix of young and older talent. But that tight end position, Teddy, it is a ginormous gaping hole. Even with Ben Watson, he won't be there first four games of the season. What are we looking at? Like a glorified tackle playing that position? Are you actually going to get anything out of those other guys like the cost that they signed or Lance Kendricks?
Yeah, because it'll be different because when defenses see that specific tight end and that skill set that particular tight end has, okay, this is the receiving tight end, this is the blocking tight end. Well, now I can bring in this group against that because I know they won't run these plays with that player because he cannot perform that job description. So it makes it a little bit more black and white for the opposing defensive coordinator, and that's what they don't like. They don't like bringing in a personnel group and then all of a sudden what our tendencies are, what they are in that set, in this personnel grouping. They like having a set where you can do multiple things. They like having players that can do multiple things. They lost a big one in Rob Gronkowski, and that's why a lot of defensive coordinators had problems in terms of what group do I have? Do I have big nickel? Do I have little nickel? Maybe I just bring in my safety so we can just – I'd rather them run the ball than throw it to Gronkowski 20 yards down. So that's personnel grouping for us. What's our right offensive philosophy? Do we just lean on our defense in the month of September because we know those opponents we play – I think we're gonna have success defensively, so offensively, let's just not mess it up. That's a lot of things that they're thinking about in those facilities and in that facility in those meeting rooms.
All right, one more. We'll get away from the Patriots. We'll go to the NFL. We'll go to the Oakland Raiders. I understand you football guys have a certain comfort level. You know, every day you like to do certain things the same way.
We're creatures of habit.
Exactly. You like to wear the same helmet all the time because it feels good.
Yeah.
But when
the
league and the Players Association get together and they say, gentlemen, your brains are getting squashed. We're trying to get the helmets safer now. Okay, that's what's important. And you give the guys a year to do it, and a guy is still bitching, still complaining about wearing the helmet. What do you do, Teddy? I mean, I almost get the feeling that the helmet's not the issue. He's just miserable. Antonio Brown's just miserable.
Well, what do I do? I know how I feel about it, and how I feel is that the kid just needs to put on a helmet. There's over 30 different kinds, and come on, man, just get a helmet on, you'll be fine. But how does Mayock and Gruden handle it? Because believe me, they're just as upset as a lot of fans are in terms of listening to this and wondering why this is a problem. But they got to maintain a relationship with this player and still establish some level of trust. Like, if I'm John Gruden, and I mean, you're watching all of the support system that Gruden is trying to almost pump him up and fluff him up with all of his comments that I got your back, all right? Good cop, bad cop with Mayock. Now, you give him the ultimatum, but I'm the head coach. I have to deal with him more, so I got to keep my relationship good. Unfortunately, You gotta have white gloves with this if you are an organization, because how do you play the player where you discipline the guy and play a hard line, but still, this is a type of player that'll just take off. And him being the
leave the facility and leave. Yeah, bye.
And him being the immense talent that he is, it's a mind game that you got to be part psychologist with this guy in terms of he's got to sort of maybe like one guy and like the teammates, who's the bad guy. And what Mayock said the other day, you can see that game sort of playing out in Oakland.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch.
He's only been there 4 weeks.
Yes, exactly. Well, he hasn't been there. But he hasn't been there the entire 4 weeks.
A couple days. We'll call it 21 days.
It's training camp. This can't end well.
Regular season, it just can't
end well, guys.
No, it's going to be a mess. Yeah. Looking forward to talking to you during the football season, and thanks for calling in today.
Thanks, Teddy.
Really appreciate you helping us out here today.
Really appreciate it. Thanks,
you got it.
Guys.
Thanks, Teddy Bruschi, our buddy Teddy Bruschi, and he'll be with us during the football season. Let me introduce you to Ellie Levine. Did I get that right? Levine, 5 years old? Wow, 5 years old. Leah and Doug are mom and dad. And maybe we can start with you and tell us exactly what her story is.
Sure. This is Ellie. She is 5 1/4. Don't forget the quarter.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And
you get the quarter,
she
right.
Has leukemia. She has acute lymphoblast leukemia. She was diagnosed at her 5-year checkup at the doctor's office. We went in to... for the checkup, and we were thinking it was good because we noticed a few things to ask the doctor about. Bruises on her shins. She had some aches and pains that seemed unusual for her. And then in the course of the examination, he knows she also had some broken blood vessels on her stomach. And the combination of the three led him to run some blood tests. And in the doctor's office, he said it took a while. We were waiting. And then he came back and said, well, there's some concerning results, but our tests aren't... as accurate as a hospital, so he sent us to Newton Wellesley. We got the test there. We were waiting. I was in communication with our doctor, Dr. Grundsheimer, Weston Pediatrics. We were in contact. I said, should I go home? He said, well, why don't you wait there because you're already halfway to Children's. If need be, we would have to send you there. So we waited, Ellie and I, and then we got the word that her platelet levels were very low, so we went ahead to Children's ER. And we got to the ER, and we called Dad. Dad was on his way in, and a doctor came in and said, okay, that these results, they confirmed them at Children's, and they said this could be anything from a virus to cancer. And we...
Oh, geez. Yeah, it's a crazy range.
That's it, huh?
Oh, no gray area whatsoever, huh?
Yeah.
It's a leap.
Can you give me a percentage?
Yeah.
You know, can you help me out here? Wow.
So you obviously, when you hear something like that, do you just...
When I heard virus... to leukemia, they said, I was like, she has a virus, because I had no connection to anybody with leukemia growing up into my adulthood, because it's very rare. I think they told us there are about 2,500 to 3,000 cases a year for all kids in the United States ages infant to 20. So that you put the denominator of millions of kids and 2,500 above that. It's a pretty rare disease.
Yeah.
So I thought she had a virus, but they confirm it within... couple hours, just a battery of tests, and then we sit down in a consult room, and that's the first time that leukemia hits home, right at that moment. And it's scary because I had only been associated with breast cancer, lung cancer, pancreatic cancer, and so my association with cancer was really bad and dark. And luckily, they woke up a pediatric oncologist who spent 2 hours with us answering all our questions and telling us how good the prognosis is for childhood leukemia. But in between, that time in between is scary moment.
So it was a couple hours in between the virus
yes,
or leukemia?
We were in the ER for about 6 hours waiting for the confirmation, and then the pediatric oncologist came in, and she was amazing. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. She answered every single question we had. I just can't say enough about how great she was, and the whole team after that. We've been impressed by everyone we've met. And
I have a friend who works for the National Leukemia Society, and they sent us a whole bunch of materials, and one of the first things that it says is make sure you're your kid's advocate and they're getting the best care. Whether that means if you have the ability to uproot your life and make sure she gets the best care. And we never take that for granted because everybody from all over the country and the world comes here. So we're lucky that we live 45 minutes away.
So she responded well to treatment.
Yeah.
But with the chemo came other things, correct?
Yep. She got a really, really bad case of pancreatitis. It's like so bad we were in the ICU. I didn't know pancreatitis could be that serious, and it onset really quickly, and it's caused by one of the chemo drugs, and unfortunately, she got hit hard, and they say only about 10% of kids get that side effect, and only half of those get it severely, and she got it severely, and being in the ICU in children's, that's a scary experience.
But I mean, at that point, you're just sitting there saying, really? I mean,
yeah, what kind of luck is this kid having?
I mean, come on.
Yeah,
right. It's like, we're just going through this. Now you're going to tell me that it's just rare that it happens and it's my child that gets it?
Right.
Yeah, she was a month in the hospital initially, and then she did very well. And, you know, some ups and downs, of course. It wasn't all easy, but she got out and we were on course, and then the pancreatitis hit, and she was in for another 3 weeks. There's really no treatment. That's what's just crazy about it, because it's just pain management and then flushing the system.
Just so pump you with fluid.
So she gained 21 pounds of fluid weight from IV, and she's only 45 pounds, so she gained almost half her weight in fluid. And this is a kid who really loves to eat. Loves to eat, and so she couldn't eat that whole time.
I noticed that, because I was going to ask, 45 pounds. So I was looking at this, and apparently before one of your procedures, you laid out 10 meals that you want waiting for you.
Smart girl.
Spaghetti, meatballs, fish tacos. I mean, you
fish
like
tacos.
Crab rangoon, sushi, pad thai, chili. So they put out.
I like it.
I like her style.
The rumor is that they put out all 10 meals for you, and you ate all of them in one sitting? Could that even be true?
You did?
All of it?
Did you share any?
Where'd
it
go?
Nope.
How did you eat all that food?
Impressed.
You need to enter one of those hot dog eating contests. Yeah, you know, one of those things. You know, you can win that thing.
She can pile it away.
Wow. Yep. 10 different meals and you ate it all right after the procedure. Well, that must have been a good sign anyway, right after the procedure.
She's got her appetite back.
Yeah. Loves her appetite.
Yeah. Well, it's great. Wow. And how is she doing right now? What was the situation?
She's doing awesome right now. It's so impressive. She has so much energy, and we sent her to camp. She went to a camp with kids with cancer and cancer survivors, and she just keeps up with everybody. She's starting kindergarten in 2 weeks. She goes to swim lessons. She loves to be in the pool. It's a
testament to how resilient kids are, and especially Ellie has such a fierce spirit. She was out there riding her bike, going for runs. She said, I'm going to build up my muscles. So she really like hit the ground running, and she's an inspiration. My mother-in-law says she teaches us to live in the moment, because she's really not thinking about those hard times. She's looking ahead, and
that's awesome.
Knows how to enjoy herself.
Ellie, it was great meeting you. Okay, and continued good health. Okay,
thank you.
10 meals. I like your
and
style.
A good appetite.
I like that.
And a good appetite.
Yeah. Thank you very much. We really appreciate
it.
The best to you and your family.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to update the
board.
Lisa Sherber, she's an angel. What do you call her? Uppity?
I did not. She just called her uppity last year.
Well, that was
a compliment.
No.
That's not a compliment.
Here comes uppity Lisa.
We will do that coming up next, and maybe a special recognition of somebody. We'll do all of that next right here, live from Fenway Park, all part of the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. It's all presented by our friends at Arbella.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We were just talking about this, Alex, and about the Jimmy Fund, and it's amazing how we're getting all four of the coaches right now from the four pro teams together, and yet all four of these teams have gotten together for the Jimmy Fund. And even though it originally was a Red Sox charity, all of these teams are involved in it right now, contributing, obviously making it, people well aware of what we're doing. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, throughout the years, I mean, I've been here, what, a year and a half, and this is what we do here. You know, there's something special about this place for how tough it is. You know, I call it a madness, you know, Boston. But, you know, we have great people here. And then this 2 days means a lot, not only to the region, but I think this is bigger than the Red Sox, and I'm glad that I'm part of it.
Back here at Fenway Park, by the way, Alex Cora was part of the four coaches that joined us earlier on the program. Good news is we'll play a lot of it probably tomorrow because there was some good stuff there. And Alex, as usual, every Wednesday with us, brought to you by Arbella Insurance and Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox Radio Network. Next two people are pretty familiar to Boston sports fans. Bob Stanley, of course, pitched many years for the Boston Red Sox, and his son Kyle Stanley is here. Kyle, it's great to see you. You can we get that microphone on here, guys?
Hello.
I don't think the mic's on. Oh. Here we go. You ran a marathon?
I did, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a rash decision, but it was all about raising money for the Jimmy Fund.
So I saw the whole documentary that they did with you guys, and your father said, he's crazy. He's just trying to run a marathon. He's crazy.
He's nuts.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
So tell us your story, because it was a sinus tumor, right?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed on my 9th birthday. I had a tumor the size of a man's fist in my right sinus. And I went right into Dana-Farber and had 6 months of chemo and a year of radiation, and then in February, after that, the following year, I was had a surgery to remove what was left of the tumor, and been cancer-free ever since.
Unbelievable.
So it started when you were 9?
Yeah, I was having headaches when I was 9.
And how old are you now?
I am 38.
Wow.
Yep.
And all this started with you going to Dana-Farber. Was Lisa Sherber there when you were there?
Probably. I think she was, yeah.
So, Kyle, how old were you?
Lisa was there in 1872. I remember it well.
Yeah, Lisa was there.
Kyle, how old were you when you were cancer-free? How long of a process was it? A few years?
So, in February in 1991, I had the tumor removed, and I've been cancer-free ever since.
Oh, wow.
I was 10 years old.
Wow. That was amazing, because I remember Kyle as a kid, and around the team or whatever. Matter of fact, I remember you saying that you would have left that last year because you walked away from the game. You could have pitched another year, couldn't you?
Yeah, I had another year on my contract.
Yeah,
gave it back. I would have quit anyway. So
because of what he was dealing with,
right? I couldn't let my wife do that by herself.
How difficult was that for the entire family when you're going through what he's going through? And of course, you're also a celebrity in town. People know everything that's going on.
Well, you know, a lot of I used to go to Jimmy Fund all the time and visit kids. And, you know, like 5 years before that, I visited a boy that was terminally ill. And I brought him my jersey and a Jim Rice autographed bat. And he ended up passing away. 5 years later, the doctor, Dr. Holcomb Greer, says, "You remember Devin?" I go, "Yeah." He says, "Kyle has the same tumor." Ugh. So I'm like, "Oh, my God." He says, but we've done research, and, you know, it's better than it was 5 years ago for, you know, poor Devin. And
how crazy is that, though, Bob?
Huh?
You're sitting there, and you're dealing with a kid, and you're hearing about the kid, and he passes away, and the next thing you know, your son has exactly what that kid.
I still believe. Devin's buried in my jersey, with my jersey. And I still believe to this day that Devin looked over him, took care of him. Mm.
Well, it is just the research alone, when you think about how long ago you were diagnosed, how young you were, to where you are now, and just the strides and the clinical research that has been done and the lives that have been saved because of the Jimmy Fund.
and people donating money, just how important it is for people to recognize how important, you know, a small donation can be to such a great cause.
That's the amazing thing to me in doing this now. I think it's been like 10 years for me that when you hear doctors say, well, 10, 15 years ago, was it different than like 10? No, two. You know, one.
Six
you know,
months in
whatever.
Some
like it's, yeah. And right now we have some trials there, and it's like, you know, fundraisers, obviously people calling in. Things are a little bit different than they were 28, 30 years ago.
Yeah, right every here. Tuesday I used to have to carry them out of the clinic because of the chemo. You know, you just knocked them out. And now they walk out, with, you know, they're not really that sick. I mean, he was puking all over the place, and I had to carry him out. And we had a big joke after he got cured because he always gave us one of those little cups, you know, so just if he got sick, we had a stack of them in our in our house. And we said, my wife and I said, let's have a party, and we'll fill them up with peanuts and all that kind of stuff.
The used ones?
Yeah, not the used ones.
And so you gave back. So you ran the marathon, you gave back.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I...
Did you train?
I did train, is the worst part.
I mean, the crazy thing is, collectively, if we couldn't do that.
No, we couldn't.
If I said, okay, you take, you know, a couple, I'll take some. We couldn't do it collectively.
I can't drive 26 miles.
Yeah, no, it's baseball. He said, Bob was a pitcher, so he had to run a little bit. I hit a double. You call timeout to get your breath. You know, I mean, that's the way it is.
I didn't run a lot. Must have been backing up home or something.
Yeah. That's an unbelievable story, though, when you look back at where you were as a kid. And what you were dealing with, and here you are as an adult, and you're perfectly fine, and everything has worked out. Just knock on wood, just been great.
You out in the field today?
Throwing the first pitch.
Oh my God! Hold on.
He was a really good little league player.
I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about you. Is your arm getting better over the years? I hope. No?
I just had rotator cuff surgery last June. A year ago, June.
So I
was like a little nervous. I went to Pawtucket. Couple weeks ago to throw out the first pitch, and I bounced it. So I got to aim higher tonight.
You know, do me a favor. Go online, look at 50 Cent first pitch. Okay? As long as you're better than that, you'll be
good.
Don't
do that.
Maybe it's in his head, and he'll end up doing it.
Exactly.
That one was awful. Yeah. Bob, it's great seeing you. It's been a long time.
Thanks,
it's really great seeing you. Kyle, it's great to see you.
Thank
I remember you.
You
as a kid, and to see you now as an adult and see that everything worked out great. All thanks to Dana-Farber. We really appreciate you guys sharing your story.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming over here. And good luck with that pitch. Good luck with that pitch.
A little nervous.
We're going to bring Lisa Sherber in. We were lying. She has not been around for all of those years, but she's been around a long time. And she is really the person that we call her an angel. It's amazing to me the stuff. Come on over here, Lisa. Let's get the headset on Lisa over here. It's amazing to me. And we spent some time going over to the clinic, and this woman has seen it all with kids over the years, the parties she puts on for these kids. They do a thing with the girls where they take all these girls out, and they get them gowns, and they do the hair, and they do the makeup, and, of course, the Jimmy Fun, they go to the spring training, take all the Jimmy Fun kids down there. They take them here to Boston. It is amazing what you do and what you contribute to the Jimmy Fund. Absolutely amazing.
Well, it's pretty amazing being here, and I do remember these guys, and I do have to say, while you guys are still in the room, I loved watching your mom, watching Joan, as you were telling your story and you were saying the story, and her eyes are filling up, and I think she perfectly represented every mom that we get to meet in the clinic, and how privileged we are to sort of have them just share their pain and their happiness and their sorrow and all of that, and to know almost 30 years later, you just telling the story just brought a lot of it back, and I just sort of, it was just really wonderful. So, and to sort of have you here as a representation of hope and adversity of everything you've gone through, I'm just so psyched to be here with you guys.
And I'm going to throw it back on you, because we hear constantly from these families what you guys do over at the Jimmy Fund to make life easier for the family. Because there's one thing about the patient going in and receiving the treatment. There's another with the family who is sitting there and suddenly their world has been turned upside down, and the comfort that you and the people that work with you and what they bring to these to these people.
I think, like, when Kyle, you were treated, it was so many years ago that we weren't doing the events. We weren't taking tween trips and teen trips and girls' weekends and mom's days out and things like that. And so for me, as much as I've seen the research get better and prognosis just sort of a little bit more hope, I've also been able to sort of see what myself and my team can do to sort of take the worst time of your life and sort of bring a little bit of happiness and a little bit of joy and hopefully have some memories that will last forever.
Kyle, they owe you teen night out. They owe you. Cash in on that. They
he can go as a chaperone. Yeah.
Lisa, we always talk about how you are an angel.
And, I know. No, but it's not really
but
right.
But here's the thing. I can't even comprehend what you do because the relationships you build with these kids, with these families, on a daily basis, monthly, yearly, kids coming in, kids coming out, and it's not all wins. There are some losses there, and I don't know how you do it, building relationships and seeing things that don't work out.
Well, you know, I think, you know, we're asked that a lot, and I think it's sort of, we have to be ready for the next one coming in. And but we also see, I rode the PMC, I don't know, a month ago, whenever it was, it seems like it was just yesterday. And alongside me were parents and parents of kids going through treatment and parents that were bereaved parents. And the fact that these parents that have lost their kids, they never feel like we're not still part of their family. And to know that they're still fighting for the next child who's being diagnosed right now is really comforting. And every time one of these parents, they lose their child, I know they're going to keep fighting for the rest. And it's so they just join our team, you know. And I think last night, the Schwartz family, Todd's parents, were awarded something on the field for how much they do for the walk and raising funds. And I just kind of stood there with everybody else, and I said, this is what it's all about. This is what it is. It's parents that their kids are going through it, give back. It's parents that have lost kids that give back. And I just think that if you can call in, if these parents can do it, and these kids can run a marathon, you know, with everything that they had to go through to raise funds because they know how critical they are, I mean, you can pick up a phone and call in a donation. I mean, I'm just sort of like, after 2 days, I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's bring this up. Let's get the energy going and sort of make this happen because I see it work. It works.
So there's obviously a ton of people involved from the nurses, and we've all taken the visits there. Every show has. But you're the face of it, but you are, and whether you like it or not, you know.
Why are you making faces?
Or the laugh of it, the voice of it.
I sit there and I go, you know, Lou alluded to it a little bit. How do you not take your job home with you, or is taking your job home with you, I guess, part of the job? Because it seems like it's
a balance.
Wear on you. So, like, you get home, do you like? Okay, sit in your driveway, say, okay, I'm going to the house and I'm going to...
My family.
Yep. My family,
sometimes
my time.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes
How
it is.
How do you balance that?
It's a tricky balance, you know, because I think part of all that experience is it makes my heart fuller, you know, and it makes me a better mom. It makes me a better friend. It makes me better, you know. So, yeah, there are days I pull into the driveway and I exhale. But then there are those days where my kids have watched what I do. I have two kids and they both... volunteer with me all the time, you know, and their friends do as well. So something happened here where they saw the magic and they saw the joy just by watching, and you know, and they listen to this telethon, this radio telethon, and they know that how easy it is to help people, you know. So I think I obviously did take it home, but I think I took the really good stuff home, and then the sad stuff, they seem to understand and realize that that can't happen anymore.
Is there one story? I'm sure there's a million of them.
There's a million, yeah.
Is there one story that stands out more than the rest?
God, it's like, what favorite kid do you have, you know? you know, there's a lot. I mean, I can go through a current story, you know, where I think quickly, I don't know how much time we have, but spring training really is a quick one. So two of our teenagers, Gabby and Camden, they both have prosthetics.
We talked to Gabby.
I know you did. Yeah. Isn't she gorgeous?
Yeah.
So Camden is sort of a professional with it. He's had his prosthetic for 6 months, and she really had just gotten hers. And so for her, it was really tough. So it was time for the Lazy River, which is this great rafting thing. And all the kids are ready. And so Gabby was, I don't want to go. I don't want to go on because I have to take my prosthetic off. And it's not who I am. It's not pretty. It's not. And everyone, we're all trying to convince her that this is okay. This is okay. And she wasn't really taking it. And her new friends were trying to convince her. And off like 20 feet, there was Camden whipping off his prosthetic, putting it on a beach chair right by the pool. Like, John knows he's there. To this day, I don't even know if she saw it, but we all saw it. And all of a sudden, she's like, all right, I'll do it. She takes it off. She puts it aside. The nurses hold it. And she jumped in the raft. Like, what does that say? Like, this is sort of, we go to spring training to see the Red Sox, but we really, really go to sort of have these kids see that there is hope. There are other kids that are going through this situation. That's something that Kyle didn't have when he was going through it, and that's what I'm the most proud of. So I think that story really represents the power of these kids. They're so strong.
All right, Lisa, since you're here, I want to recognize somebody right now. We've done this for 18 years. I remember when I was fired in 2013. Lisa remembers it because we talked during that period of time. It killed me not being here in August for those 2 days to be part of this. Because once you do it every single year, and you know people at the Jimmy Fund, and you know the kids, and you know the people that work over there, it becomes part of you, and it became part of me. Jerry Callahan, we all know what happened here over the last month, and Jerry is not here today, and not here yesterday. To me, I will say this, there's nobody that put more of their heart and soul into the last 18 years than Jerry Callahan did. And I know what he did behind the scenes, and you do as well. He rode the PMC, put groups together. He was involved in the Christmas parties. I know, I've seen him firsthand behind the scenes. On top of being passionate, emotional, on the air, to be able to see a lot of money just pour in because Jerry was so passionate about the cause, about the Jimmy Fund. I feel it's unfair that Jerry is not here today, and he's kind of missing from us, and I think he deserves the recognition for what he did for the Jimmy Fund for 18 years.
Definitely. And I think Jerry's the one who taught me how to do this right here with you guys. I didn't just know this. The first one, we were together 18 years ago, and he just looked at me. He goes, give me stories. Give me stories. I want stories right now. And I'm like, what stories? What do you mean? Tell me stories of what happens on a day-to-day. And so he was the one who sort of trained me to let my memories sort of come out and sort of be heard by as many people as possible. Because if you don't hear the stories, you can't feel. You can't feel the joy. You can't feel the pain. And so I will always, you know, be so thankful. And he knows it. I tell him all the time that, you know, he's sort of kind of raised me in this little table here of talking to you guys where I knew there were stories. I just didn't know people wanted to hear them all. And I think for 18 years, that's what I've been doing, is telling the stories of the kids and the parents that necessarily can't tell their stories. And I think it works really well. And yes, Jerry was on my PMC team. And boy, you don't want to see anyone ride in the rain as much as Jerry Callahan, because he is cranky in the rain. But, you know, that crankiness was topped with the emotion and the passion of helping the kids. And he knows I love him to death. So I definitely felt a loss today. But I know he was listening. And I know that every time I tell a story, it's because that, you know, crankety guy just told me tell a story.
And he can't, and he cares. He cares about it. I've talked to him numerous times in the last couple of days, because I know what the feeling was for me back in 2013, and it's kind of, you're lost. And for him, I think he wants this thing to work out well. He wants the Jimmy Fund to do well, even though he's got his own emotions that he's dealing with based on what happened with him over the last couple months.
He's rooting for us, and he's rooting for these kids, and he's like, make me proud, do your stuff. And I was like, all right. Done.
So I think he deserves recognition because he was a big part of over $53 million being raised. Lisa, great seeing you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Great seeing the Stanleys. Go out there with the first pitch. You know what we're going to take you to break?
Huh.
We got some old sound.
Classic Callahan?
Callahan with some of the kids, and we'll be right back.
It happens to some great people, but it seems to happen to tough people. I mean, guys with great... I mean, you are positive. You are obviously a tough kid. I'm not sure every kid could take it. Maybe that's why it happened to you.
Well, you know what? I don't really care what happens to me. The only reason I'm worried about what about dying is that it would hit my family so hard and everyone that I know. I don't think they could take it. I don't really care what happens to me. But if I'm gone, my family would go straight down the hill.
I'm going to lose it, Dino. Do you think about that, Ben? I mean, do you think about...
I try not to, because I try to think that I will get through it, no matter what happens. Like, when I'm in pain at home on the couch and I just suddenly crunch up in pain, it's not the crunch... The crunch up isn't mostly from the pain. It's mostly from seeing my mom's face when I get in pain.
Mm. Wow.
Who's your hero?
Me.
Why?
Well, this is something that I learned in Cooperstown from the proprietor whose husband, the guy who built all of Cooperstown, he always said to every player that went, to be your own hero. And she was telling my entire team that you just look in the mirror and that's who your hero is. And I feel really, really proud about that.
I want Jerry Callahan.
She wants Jerry Callahan.
She's only human here. Right here. Yeah, there. Hold it right there. Yeah, there you go. So were you in the room with Justin? Were you guys hanging in the room?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. They came to New York.
They came to New York just to see you?
Yeah.
Wow. And you guys left the hotel together, right? Your dad was saying?
No.
Lots of crazy teenage girls chasing Justin around?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Right? Yeah. It was so silly.
You know what? They were so jealous of you. All those girls, they wished they could spend some time with Justin.
They
thought they were silly. Maybe that was why.
Don't let Dad eat them all. We got your Valentine.
Oh, Mrs. Beaver.
What?
Those are better than propofol. Those are chocolates.
What are you talking about?
You like chocolates, don't you?
Yeah.
Valentine's present.
Can I have that after that? After.
Yeah, after your sleepy medicine, you can have.
There you go.
Yeah.
Selling a little? Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Jason Veritek. Help us win the fight against cancer by donating to the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon today. Join WEEI and NESN and donate whenever you can. Call right now, 1-877-738-1234.
Hi, back over here at Fenway Park. One of our major sponsors for this radio telethon is FW Web Company. They have been unbelievable in the process. Ruth Martin is here from FW Web, and thank you for all you guys do.
You're welcome.
And it really helps us out an awful lot, and obviously you know what the cause is all about.
Yes, I do.
If you had family members, I ask that question all the time, and most people say, yep.
Yes. I lost my husband to cancer in 2006, but his battle with cancer actually began in 1986 when he was diagnosed with testicular cancer. When he was diagnosed, it was actually 9 months too late because the initial doctor disregarded his comment about a large testicle and said it was normal. So by the time he was diagnosed, it had spread to his lungs, to his brain, to his lymph nodes, and he was given 30 days to live. I remember sitting next to him at his bed that in the hospital and eating, he was eating a piece of fried chicken. I'll never forget that. And he said, "Don't worry, they'll give me medicine, I'll get better, and I'll go home." And he did. And 9 months later, when they had the blood markers, he was cancer-free, and it was normal, and he remained cancer-free for 18 years. We were told we were never going to have children because of the intensity of the chemo that he received would prohibit him from fathering children. I have my three children in the studio with me today, so God had a different plan. And then in 18 years later, he was diagnosed with brain cancer, and he wasn't as successful in fighting that cancer, and the brain cancer was a result of the radiation he had received in 1986. We were referred to Dr. Nguyen at
Patrick. Yeah, we met him today.
Patrick Nguyen.
We did.
Yes. Yes. Amazing man. Amazing man. Amazing doctor. We were referred to him, and he told us from the onset that the this was going to be a tough cancer to beat, and he didn't beat it. But that man, and when he died, Dr. Nguyen actually called me that night to express his condolences. And that's when I knew that, you know, Dana-Farber has a great staff and people like Dr. Nguyen that really care about the family.
Roots, so, we got to move because we got to go to the game. Your story is unbelievable, and obviously your family's been touched with it. Your family here,
but I've been
great.
Blessed. I have three.
Have.
As sad as the outcome is I get. I've been blessed with three wonderful children.
And thank you again to FW Webb coming in with a contribution as well. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Good luck with the fight.
Thank you for all you do. It's been an unbelievable day, guys. Unbelievable. It continues on with Red Sox baseball. We'll catch you with OMF tomorrow at 2:00 in the afternoon. To everyone who's contributed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
There are so many amazing people at the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber. They all make it fun having cancer. Like, no one wants to have cancer, but they make it so much fun, and they make so many amazing things happen when a challenge in your life is happening. And it's just amazing and wonderful to have the experience. And I'm going to beat cancer's butt.
Yeah! T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.